Welcome to this episode of the Arcana Archives, a deep dive into nerddom. I'm Rogan, and my fun fact is I'm a spicy boy. I have two Texan grandparents, and I love me some spicy food.
I did not know that you had two Texan grandparents.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I'm Chelsea, and my fun fact is...
Wonderful. Enlightening.
And with us today on Rogan's episode... We also have an extra special guest who's just here to chat as Rogan tells us his episode.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm Andy. Thanks for having me on again. I'm not really doing anything special. I'm just hanging out.
He's just here. We've got the studio setups and a few extra mics, so.
Yeah.
He's sitting chilling. In the sunbeam. Cat's on him.
Yep.
Oh, what's your fun fact?
That was my fun fact, that I literally have a cat on my lap right now.
Well...
I hope that's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, last time my fun fact was somebody once told me the world is going to roll me, so...
Okay. I see where the bar is then.
It's on the floor.
Mm-hmm. We literally just told you to plop a squat and and sit down, so that is a fine fun fact.
Yeah,
that.
You've been coerced.
Yes.
Groovy.
But my episode topic today... is on what I believe to be one of the most important inventions of the 20th century.
Oh, what's it gonna be?
Yes. So this thing has been around for a while and has migrated up, and it's sort of a fusion of several cultures.
The car.
No. But it is... Actually, I'd love to hear what you think a car is a fusion of a few cultures from.
German, Japan?
They generally do... their own separate thing, but...
No, but, okay. Like, the seatbelt was invented by somebody who worked for Volkswagen, and he gave it away to other cars for free, and the seatbelt can be found in every car for safety. And Japan's made some major leaps and bounds in fuel efficiency, so it's just you take the best technology from every culture. It's a fusion.
Okay, I see.
I'm not crazy.
But yeah, no, this is something a lot greater.
It's a lot greater, like, than a car.
Absolutely.
An airplane.
No. Let me tell you. It is the microwave burrito.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's a good thing we have Andy on for this episode.
Oh, yes. That's what I was thinking. So, there is a lot of mystery surrounding the invention of the and the origins of the burrito. So, no one knows exactly who invented the burrito, but it came about in the 20th century. The name is supposed to be derived from the Spanish word for donkey, which is burro. Oh.
Can I sideline you for just a second? I was literally going to write an episode about burritos. It's on my list. Like, I was going to do it for today. Can you imagine?
Oh, but this is specifically the microwave burrito.
All right.
Okay.
So theories for this name range from the ease of travel this tortilla-wrapped meal brought to a street vendor calling school kids dim-witted while ordering his food. Oh. So, what is for sure is that before the Spanish settlers came, cuisine local to Central America mostly revolved around the corn tortilla and the tamale. And only where the wheat the Spanish brought caught on or where they settled was it grown and eventually crafted into the wheat tortilla that could stand to hold such a hefty delight. The Spanish also brought the meat diet that the burrito is centered around, filling early ancestors of everyone's favorite microwavable treat with beef, chicken, cheese, etc.
Okay.
Mexican food finally started catching on in the States, starting with the taco, since most of the first immigrants came from regions that still revolved mostly around the corn tortilla. But by the 50s, the burrito came in swinging with all the force of the food version of a hammer.
I also revolve around corn tortillas.
Oh, yes.
I'm imagining, like, the pre-Spanish, like, burrito is just a corn tortilla with corn in it.
Yeah.
Yo, dog, I heard you like corn, so I put corn in your corn.
Corn, beans, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
A smash hit.
Yeah. The largest factor in its spread was most likely the migration to Southern California, where a great deal of the country's greatest influencers lived, which is still true today.
That is still true today.
These were the film stars and artists, and also one of California originator, Richard Nixon, who brought the taco to the White House.
He brought the taco to the White House?
Yeah.
What, did he just, like, hit up Taco Bell?
It's somewhat like hitting up the Taco Bell after his presidential win, but he actually traveled to one of the Southern Central American countries to get tacos after he won his election. So
what the heck?
Yeah.
God, that sounds like something we would do.
Must have been Taco Tuesday.
Wanted to have a Mexican buffet at our wedding. Also, fun fact about Andy. He hates any song that mentions California.
That's not strictly true. It's just like a trigger of mine.
Hotel California, least favorite song.
No, Californication's my least favorite song.
See what I'm saying? Okay, that was a tangent.
So Nixon likes tacos.
Yeah. So then something magical happened. Drum roll, please. The microwave burrito was invented.
Was he having leftovers?
Yeah. So in 1956, Duane R. Roberts, the same man who sold frozen burgers to McDonald's, thought, why not package up one of these frozen delights, stuff a bunch in a bag or a box, and chuck it in the freezer for when it's time to chow down? And he did.
Damn.
Yeah. This is when this tasty, beefy treat was ready to conquer the greater North American landscape. And now that we had the technology to mass produce, package, freeze, and transport these little spicy devils, and the American public didn't care about the inferior nature of the flour tortilla compared to the traditional corn, but only how many they could pile in the microwave, it quickly caught the attention of the rest of the USA and eventually made its way into Canada.
And into my freezer. There's some in the freezer right now.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
If the senor's isn't enough, then we can have freezer burritos. Okay, fun fact about Rogan, for my Calgarian listeners and friends, Rogan's never had senor's before.
I mean, I go to Costa Vida, and that's my burrito take.
Well, senor's isn't burritos, it's pizza.
Ah, yes. And then, like, I just order whatever is closest.
It is a Calgarian staple.
I've had Vern's when they're like inch thick of meat.
Oh my god.
Vern's is really
remember
good.
Vern's,
it's
actually
insane. It's like one pizza equals one heart attack.
It's true. It's
like, we went there with my family, right?
Yeah, your uncle got some for us.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, this is literally like a whole pig on a pizza.
It's insane.
I hope our listeners are hungry.
Do you two want to guess what people theorize was the first frozen burrito?
What flavor was it? Like flavor-wise?
Yeah.
Three cheese.
No.
Bean and beef.
No.
I would guess. Oh, you said bean and beef? I'm out of ideas. Was it chicken?
No. So it was most likely beef and bean with, ooh, just a little bit of red chili powder.
Okay.
Or what I like to call the red hot spicy beef burrito.
Okay, you gotta get specific. I see how it is.
Yeah, sorry, Chelsea. No partial credit on this question.
Damn it.
Nah, the chili powder is
essential.
Like, mwah, the
chef's kiss.
It had a lot to do with schools that it took off so fast, but also in small towns and places that didn't have a specified Mexican restaurant. This was their only in to that cuisine, and found conveniently on grocery store shelves. So, And all you had to do was pop one out when you were in a particularly spicy mood, and one of those bad boys right in that there oven.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Italian, not Mexican.
It's really nice that microwave burritos were invented so quickly after the invention of the microwave in general. Mm-hmm. Like, not too much separation in time between those two events.
Mm-hmm.
That just gives me strength.
That's so funny. Like, somebody invents this new way to make food, and then somebody else is like, you know what? We need microwave burritos.
Yes.
It's like they invented the art, and then they immediately perfected the art.
Yeah, because, like, before then, it really was, like, pretty much just centralized to, like, maybe a little bit into Texas, and, like, mostly Southern California was the burrito. For those people on the go who needed a nice wrapped-up treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Aurora Burrito Alice, at this time of day, at this time of year, centralized entirely within California?
Huh?
This reference got derailed. I apologize.
Now, let's take it down a bit and have a moment of silence just in appreciation of our Lord and Savior, Alfaro, in San Francisco, who invented the overstuffed burrito.
Alfaro! I love him. Bless. I'll follow him, Alfaro, however Alfaro he goes.
So what's an overstuffed burrito?
Yeah, so an overstuffed burrito is essentially just like shove everything in there. So where before it was just like beef, bean, and a little bit of spice, that's where you get like tomatoes and lettuce and cheese and like just putting everything in a larger tortilla package.
Okay. Fried peppers,
yeah, so,
guacamole.
Yeah. I'm going to read you a passage right out of the Vox article I used for most of my research on this, just because I find it hilarious. So give me a second to get on my best movie trailer voice.
Get in the zone.
Legend has it that proprietor Febronio Ontiveros created a double burrito in 1961 for hungry firefighters. Their enthusiastic response inspired him to create an even larger tortilla for even larger burritos. It was a hit.
I love the look on Andy's face. He hasn't heard Rogan do voices before and he just shook.
I'm right there in the restaurant. You've taken me there.
No. Man, but like that is it. So soon after this guy invented the overstuffed burrito, the founder of Chipotle took one look at that tasty morsel and said, yeah, fat, give me that. And the rest is history. Then it was taken like to the wider extent of North America. And
next
in restaurant
history,
form.
The founder of Chelsea's Brain said, yeah, that, give me that. And now it's my favorite food.
Awesome.
But yes, like, I love how, like, that's kind of the what you think of the foundation of Chipotle is nowadays is like their burrito and burrito bowls. And really, like, he had the Chipotle Mexican Grill and then discovered the overstuffed burrito in San Francisco. And he's like, yeah, okay, that's how I'm now. That's going to be the entirety of my business, essentially.
Really is our Lord and Savior.
El Faro.
Andy and I met in line for tacos at the Terry Fox Day Run at Elizabeth High School, and you were in the lineup with us when it happened.
Hey.
You were there for this historical event.
It's true.
Wonderful.
I had my guitar.
Ah, I probably had my guitar, too.
We had our guitars.
Some musical people.
But yes, it is burritos that brought us together.
Yes, yep. To this day.
It's 9 years later, and here we are. Recording a podcast and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Friends who start with burritos, stay burritos. Wait.
Stay burritos. Yep.
Oh, man.
Burrito boy.
Hoo-wee. But anyways, unlike the hefty size of our delicious meaty treat, this is going to be maybe a little bit of a short bite, a small bite of an episode.
Oh.
A nosh, a nibble.
Yes, just was feeling a little peckish
talk for another minute about just random burritos, then it'll be good.
Yeah, what is everybody's favorite burrito toppings?
G-U-A-C-O-M-O-L-A, guacamole. It tastes great even though it looks like mutant jelly. Guacamole! That's my favorite burrito topping.
I like pulled pork.
Oh,
where's
yes.
Where's the song and dance, Andy?
I didn't have one prepared.
Well, I stole mine directly from internet sensations Rhett and Link, so neither did I.
Yeah, I'm either a shredded beef or like a sweet pulled pork guy myself.
Okay, but that's a main. That's not a topping.
Yeah, but whatever. It's what you put in a burrito.
I guess there is no top on a burrito.
Yes, but it's... also like love me some pico de gallo.
Mm. Yeah, essential.
Yeah. Some watery salsa. Just straight up tomato chunks.
Take a pico of that gallo over there.
I like verde salsa.
Ah.
The stuff that's green goo. That stuff's great.
I find that verde usually is like the spicier of the salsas that restaurants offer. And so I like a medium salsa, which is...
Let us know in the comments what your favorite burrito and burrito topping is.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram
and
Facebook.
How much it changed your life
at Arcana Archives. And speaking of the archives,
that's another one for them.
Ha ha ho.
We did it.
Thank you for listening to the Arcana Archives, an exploration into nerddom.
If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics or guests, please reach out to us at arcanacollective.archives@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Facebook or Instagram with the username @arcanaarchives.
Hope to see you again.